Halliburton to the top of the arc, to the right elbow. Pulls it back out for three, and the win at the horn. Back iron, and in, and in. Halliburton hit it. Halliburton hit it. Indiana storms the floor. The officials will hold here. They have to review the shot.
Ruling on the floor is a two-point goal. The play is under review.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Power play explosion by Dallas. The turn of 3-1 deficit into a 4-3 lead. Here they come again. Steele with Sagan. Steele backhands and scores!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Brunson on the left angle for three and the tie. No good. Air ball saved by Hart. Up top, Towns for three. Front iron no good. 4 seconds left. Bridges dives to the deck. Can't get a hold of it. Goes out of bounds. And it's Indiana ball with 0.2 seconds left.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan. Yes. Yes, indeedy. Happy Thursday, everybody.
What is happening?
It's your local idiot checking in.
Hello.
Not reading weather reports and choosing to wear t-shirts and shorts and then getting dumped on as I get outside.
If it makes you feel any better, I got flip-flops on today. I one-upped you a little bit.
So did the weather change back to the crap?
Just for a day. Just for a morning, actually.
Just passing
just for
through.
This morning. A quick little shower. Keep everything green. Bada-bing, bada-boom. We're okay. Good the rest of the weekend.
All right, good to know.
It's going to be 77 on Saturday, I think. We're going to get hot. We're going to turn up the heat this weekend.
Well, you can't tell me it's going to be a nice week, and then on my daughter's actual birthday, it starts raining. It's like, that makes her not feel great.
We got a kid's birthday today?
We got a kid's birthday.
What are we doing? What's the big celebration? We got a big cake.
We got cupcakes.
Cupcakes.
There we go.
All right.
We've already made the pigs in a blanket this morning.
Nice. You got the breakfast ready to go.
I got the breakfast ready.
That's key. You got to have the good breakfast on a birthday.
It's her last basketball skills night, and then we'll probably get some ice cream.
Ooh, okay. That's a solid little birthday right there.
You know, it's a Thursday. It's a weekday birthday.
And you're in school, you know, so there's only so much you could do. Yeah. Are we stretching it into the weekend? Do we get a little weekend activity?
Weekend party
or just basketball tournaments
all the friends.
No hoops tourneys this weekend.
Ooh, we got a free Sprague household.
It's a holiday weekend, so.
They have hoops tourneys.
They do.
Sometimes they do. But
I was shocked to find out the last holiday that went through that my nephew had a baseball game. And I'm like, they're playing today? Oh, okay.
We had a tourney on Easter weekend.
You did, on Easter day.
There's not a holiday that exists that they don't do hoops tournaments.
We're grinding out here, okay? We don't do no days off.
It's $20 a head. It's $500 a team. Calculate that. You think a holiday is going to stop them from doing that?
They're not taking that day off.
Exactly.
They're not costing themselves that extra scratch at the end of the week.
The funny thing is finding out people who are always looking to get in for free. And so they'll text and ask, what's the stamp look like? And then they'll try to draw it on their wrist.
Try and save themselves $20 from having to pay.
Dude, I don't want to watch my team lose 22-45 and pay $20 for that.
I'll never forget going to one of my niece's games this year. Now, she doesn't do the year-round spring basketball thing, but in actual basketball season and walking into the gym, like, yeah, let's go to a game. It's a Saturday. We haven't been to one yet. This will be fun. Found out where the gym is. Walk in. Dude standing at the front door telling me it'll be $20 to get in.
The funny thing is,
just look at him like, wait, what?
When you told me this story.
To watch third grade girls basketball?
I went to the gym you went to the next week for my nephew.
Yeah.
Didn't pay a cent.
Didn't pay, huh? Now, did you sneak in or they just weren't charging that weekend?
I know people.
You know people.
I know people running
the
gym.
Well, you're in the youth basketball circuit. I'm not in the youth basketball circuit.
Well, you need to get in it.
Apparently, I do.
You need to get in all the circuits so you never have to pay.
The funny thing is, I ran into a guy there when I did pay, and he still made me pay, but he knew me, and I didn't. It was one of those, like...
He knew you and he still made you pay?
Andy, he kept saying, Andy. I'm like, yeah. And it took me a few moments and then it finally dawned on me. He was like, you don't know who remember me, do you? And
oh,
I said, no. He was my Pop Warner football coach when I was in sixth grade. I loved it. He was a great coach.
How did he recognize you?
I don't know. I was confused as hell, but I was like, dude. And then it dawned on me.
He was the same size.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, well, if I was this tall in sixth grade, I would have dominated Pop Warner football. And he still made me pay. I was like, dude, we won a lot of games together back in the day, man. I was running your offense, throwing tutties. I still got to pay to get into this thing.
That is a little awkward to go out of your way to say, hey, I know you.
I know you.
And then be like, but I'm still going to make you pay.
That's one of those, like, you lift the red rope up or the, you
yeah,
know, like,
the VIP.
Why don't you come on in?
Right.
Well, you know, you're good. Don't worry. Your money's not needed here. You'll be all right. I didn't get any of that treatment.
Exactly.
A little disappointed by that.
Do you know who Gary Owen is?
Gary Owen. I don't.
He is a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
He has shared a very funny story. So when he was starting out in Los Angeles, trying to get into his entertainment comedy, you know, career, he was poor and he shared a house with a guy that he met. They got along really well. The guy thought he was a really funny dude. You know, he's trying to be a stand-up comedian. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
And this guy lives with him. He's living like on his couch. And I hope I'm telling the story right. And so him and this guy, they go to this club. And it's like a really popular club. They go up. They see the bouncer. The bouncer sees the guy he's with and goes, oh, okay, okay. So he lets him in. And they probably do this 3-4 times in a row. Hey, I know you.
Hey.
Come on in.
Come on in, buddy. You're good.
So they're going together, right? Turns out the guy ends up having a crazy backstory. So one night, this comedian wants to go to the club, but his roommate can't go with him. So he goes to the club. He sees the bouncer that lets him in. He goes, hey. And he goes, hey. And he goes, me.
Me. You know, he let me in.
And the guy looks around and he goes, where's your friend? He goes, well, he's not here. He goes, all right. Well,
sorry.
Sorry.
You're on the hook.
Like,
cover.
Wow, really? So he gets into line and he ends up going back and he tells his friend, he goes, hey, man, how was the club? And he goes, oh, you know, it was cool, except like the guy didn't let me in. I thought we were all good. And he goes, oh, he didn't. Okay. All right. So fast forward a little bit. He finds out that the guy that he's living with is like a drug lord.
Oh,
like a Tony Soprano level. You don't mess with this guy, drug lord.
Hooking everybody up, probably.
He goes to this guy's house now because he has since moved out. The guy finds him and goes, hey, come follow me. He follows him. He goes upstairs. He opens a coat closet. And the bouncer is in there crying. And he goes, you let him in every time I tell you. He's like, I will. And he slams the door and he goes, you're good now.
You don't worry about a thing, buddy. You're good. So you immediately, I'm not going to get on that guy's bedside.
Yeah.
I'm going to be really nice to that guy.
Me and him are friends forever.
That's fantastic. That's like having no clue you're living with somebody of that level. And then, hey, that's why I've been getting into the club the entire time.
See, but that should have been
you. Now it all makes sense.
That should have been you. Your Pop Warner coach, shame on him for not letting you in for free.
For beating Grant in seventh grade. We hadn't beat him in 30 years.
Wow.
Came in off the bench, got the job done. How am I not getting into this basketball game for free, man?
Look, what I love the most about Dirt's youth sports highlights that we get from time to time on this show is it's not that I don't believe him. I think he's got evidence that Cleveland won the division crown and all that.
Why don't you check your banners, bitch?
It's just when he drops random lines about Pop Warner football. Yeah. We haven't beat this team in 30 years.
Haven't beaten
Who
in 30
told
years?
You that?
The coaches told me that. They told me that. I was in the know. They let me know. This hasn't happened in a long time, okay?
How old were those coaches at that point?
They were old. They were over 30.
Were they even 30?
They were over 30 years old. They definitely had been around 30 seventh grade Pop Warner games between Cleveland and Grant, okay? That's a big deal, man. You don't beat Whitaker and Grant back in the day. We got the job done. Now let me into the gym for free.
I don't know if we want to delay much longer. You guys want to ask me any hockey questions? I know all the answers.
Yeah, who you got tonight? You're in my kitchen a little bit now. I'm getting upset about this.
It's
been totally flipped on me. NBA Dirt's been flipped on its head to Blue Line Brandon, and I'm not very happy about it right now.
The funniest
they
part.
They had a 3-1 lead going into the third period. I'm all jacked because I got a
out
ticket.
Of the box.
I got a ticket on Edmonton to win the Stanley Cup. I'm all fired up. I didn't gamble
Quit
on the game last night.
Stupid penalties.
And I'm like, all right, this is awesome. And I'm like flipping back and forth, putting the kid down because the wife wasn't home yet. Finally get him down. I come back out and turn the hockey game back on, and all of a sudden it's 4-3, and I'm like, sweet, this is great, this is awesome.
The funniest thing was after the show, we see one of our sales extraordinaires, Coug Ludes, and he thinks this Blue Line Brandon thing's hilarious.
Yeah, he's on Blue Line Brandon right
now. He goes, who are we on tonight, Blue Line Brandon? And Dirt's right there, and I know Dirt's quietly like, oh, this idiot, I hate this guy. And I go, we're on the Stars tonight, Johnny. And he goes, oh, Stars. I go, I dabble with 2+ goals.
Yeah.
2+ goal victory.
Let's go puck line here. We don't need money line. Let's go big or go home.
I look at the screen. It's 3-1 Edmonton. I was like, oh, there's still time.
There's time. It's only the second.
And then a goal happens. And then another goal happens. And then they go 4-3. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to win. And then I see that they win 6-3. And I went, they covered the 2-plus goal line. Look at that. Blue line, Brandon.
I hope you actually gambled it because those odds would have been really good.
Sure didn't.
Yeah, 2.5.
Sure didn't.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I sure didn't.
Minus 2.5 stars would have been a nice payday last night.
I'm like the guy on your radio that's just like, call me now, 1-888.
Yeah. You got the picks. You're just not gambling the picks. Yeah.
I'm 4-for-4 my last 4 picks. I
always,
hockey.
The funny thing about that is I always find whenever I get on one of those streaks where I'm correctly picking things on the show but not gambling it, the second I gamble one, because I'm like, hey, I'm on a heater, it loses. So it's like you just need to keep giving out picks and have somebody else bet them for you to keep the streak alive. So we'll get your thoughts later. Nobody's going to talk about that game because, you know, the basketball was basketballing last night. That
sure.
was a really good hockey game last night. Like, that was, it's going to get completely overshadowed, but at least for one moment, let's acknowledge.
It's two massive comebacks.
Dude, that was a really
good
game last night.
It's a good sports night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an Oilers guy, so I was disappointed in the outcome, but being up 3-1, they scored 5 goals in the third period. That was a fun game one of the Western Conference Finals.
All you could ask for, whether it's hockey is your one and basketball is your two, or it's flipped, you just, all you ask for
is that. Keep me engaged for the whole game.
Yeah. Yeah, keep me around.
Comeback City. Final periods and quarters.
God, wild night last night.
It was a wild night.
Wild night last night.
It's going to be a wild show, too. We have a lot to get to today.
We do.
It's weird because the way that the basketball game went, the Magic Hat being at 6:30, so abrupt, so quick into the show.
Right out of the gate.
It's going to be very interesting how we balance all
20
this.
Minutes from now, we got a Magic Hat.
I'm pretty excited for the Magic Hat.
Don't let me down with the Magic Hat. I even remembered it in the show tease this time.
No, I was really happy about
that. It's starting to sink in. It takes a while. Give me a couple of weeks. I'll get there.
I was impressed. I got to tell you. I saw that and went, oh, my God, look at this guy.
It actually happened. It's finally clicking. We do the Magic Hat on Thursdays. That's right. I remembered.
I never ended up following up with Ken, but I had texted him on Friday's show, and he finally texted me back Friday afternoon. He said, yeah, we'll be sweating this Game 7 out.
Okay. So he's still all fully invested in Oklahoma City.
Oh, yeah. He is. I think he's Florida Panthers invested.
Yeah. He's going to have a nice little payday if they win the entire thing.
I think he has jumped on it early enough.
That's the only silver lining for me. I love Ken Barkley, so I don't want to see them win, but at least a small part of me will be happy for our buddy Ken Barkley, and he can buy an even nicer house, and then we can look up that address.
Well, the funny thing is, I think Sukanik replayed your anti-SGA rant.
Yeah, I heard that yesterday. my OKC rant went viral on the old primetimes yesterday.
It did, and Nemec was like, why do you not like him? And I'm like,
get out of here, Nemec. Get out of here. No, look, we operate with one rule on this show, at least I do. This is a feelings over facts show, okay? How do we feel? Get your numbers out of here. He was going through like, well, actually, Paolo Banchero, free throw. Like, no, get your numbers out of here. It's how you feel. Tell me what's in your gut, Nemec. I want to know what's in your guts. And in my guts, I hate SGA.
I think a lot of people dislike watching them.
I mean, that just wasn't fun. That's just not fun. That's not fun for me. Guy falling all over. It's not necessarily his fault. It's also partly, like, it's like a 50-50 blame of him and the NBA officials letting him get away with it.
I tend to agree with that.
You could just not call the fouls. Like, there was a possession in overtime last night where Brunson was trying to drive. I can't remember who was guarding him. But he was getting, like, mugged as he's out on the three-point line trying to move forward.
It was probably Neesmith.
They're bumping. He's grabbing his arm. There's no whistle. And I'm like, okay, so this is allowed. But then we get SGA going through the paint, yelling when nobody touches him, and he gets a foul call.
But I think the problem is Brunson is sneaky SGA.
He's definitely a foul hunter for sure.
Right, but like when you say he's getting mauled and bumped, he's kind of not. He goes in and then he does the head back thing as if he got hit in the face.
Sure, it looked like there was a lot of contact there. I just chuckled of, I'm fine letting their, like, let them be physical. Like, we don't have to whistle everything. Every time we talk about the NBA going back to the way it was, it's not about like seeing Bill Laimbeer clothesline a guy in the paint. It's like, can we just be a little physical out on the perimeter and kind of get your hands on somebody? Like, that's that. I want to watch that and not have everything get whistled.
So we'll preview game two of that series with Ben Beacon of Locked On Wolves at 7:15. He'll come and join us for the Daily Ticker, a slightly early edition of the Daily Ticker for game two. From the Timberwolves side of things, we will dive into that Pacers-Knicks game that was absolutely insane. Historical. That game was historical.
I mean, that was, we've never seen that before.
We'll get to the Magic Hat at 6:30. It is a loaded show. Thank you for hanging with us. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. It should have counted as a three.
Just based on principle.
When he gave the choke sign, I sat in my living room and I went, hell yeah. This is all I want as a sports fan. I'm not a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
I'm not a Pacers fan. I understand Halliburton is an underrated great villain in that league. That was an all-time moment that, much like Kevin Durant, was about 2 inches away from being the perfect all-time moment.
So close. And it almost, like, if they lose that game too, then he's going to get made fun of.
They're using
mocked.
The choke,
like,
sign on
the
him.
The choke sign on him because he didn't quite finish it. I was waiting to hop in the shower. The game was a 14-point game with, what, 2 minutes to go?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, all right, I mean, let's just watch the end of this, you know, run it out, make sure there's nothing crazy that happens, and then Neesmith hits a three, and then another three, and then another three, and then another three. And then you're just like, I was almost in disbelief just standing in my living room like, is this really good? No, it's not going to happen.
I'm stunned.
And then you get the Siakam, OG Anunoby play where you're like, oh my God, I don't think that was a foul. I think that was all ball. And then review it for 37
that
minutes.
That was a great call, by the way. I thought they on the broadcast, they were interpreting that wrong. That was not possession. That's a loose ball.
It's a loose ball.
They're both going for it. It's incidental contact. I thought that was the right call by the officials. Yeah. And they're on the broadcast talking about him touching the arm. And
50-50,
like,
could go either way. And I'm like, but he got the ball first. And then it's a loose ball,
that's
and then
what
it's
I thought,
incidental
yeah.
contact. Like I, ah, but that review took forever, and then you get a couple of missed free throws. Just one of the most shocking outcomes we have ever seen in sports, and I don't think that's blasphemous to say.
It's not. I'll lay out some facts to back your statement there. I want to say though too, you know, the people that are watching the playoffs, they don't necessarily follow you today. Are not allowed to be the same person that bitches and moans about the NBA and the three-point shot. These games, these comebacks, these moments do not happen without teams shooting threes.
They made seven in a row in the fourth quarter in overtime.
I will give you history of all of this in a second. I'm just saying, like, the reason there's so much history involved is because of the three-point shot.
Yeah.
So you're saying I was going to go shower when they were up 14 with about 2:40 to go. And I'm sitting in my living room. I wanted to go outside and shoot hoops with my daughter, but I'm like, no.
Yeah, just got to see the end of it.
You can't abandon games anymore. You need to wait until you actually see 5 seconds up eight. Like, you need that to be in play.
Especially with the Pacers, who have done this in every round of the playoffs basically so far.
And so I just, today, every sports fan that truly watched that game, whether you wanted that outcome or not to have that outcome, if you're a person that bitches and moans about the league and the three-point shot, shut up today. Just shut up. We're getting history made with these comebacks because of that shot. You don't have to love all the teams. It still doesn't have to be your favorite basketball. But the way the game is played now opens it up to that kind of ending. Here's a lot of stats for you. I'm going to throw some at you, okay?
They're pretty remarkable.
This one from Marco Romo on Twitter. Since 1997-1998, teams are 4-1649 when down by 7-plus points with less than a minute to go in the fourth quarter or overtime in the playoffs. The Pacers have accounted for 3 of those wins.
They've done it in every round. They did it to the Bucks in the first round, the Gary Trent Jr. game. They did it in game 1 in Cleveland. And I remember watching that on a walk, like, just what is happening right now? And then they did it again.
Quite literally never seen what we saw last night. What do you mean, Sprague? This one from Nate Duncan. Teams up 14-plus points in the final 2:50 of a playoff fourth quarter or overtime in the play-by-play era, they were 977-0. They are now 977-1.
It's never happened before.
It's never happened. What you saw last night has never happened in the history. How about this one? Brunson had 43, Cat had 35, Halliburton had 31, and Neesmith had 30 points. This is the 5th playoff game, the 5th in NBA playoff history with 4 30-point scores in a game. How about Aaron Neesmith? Man, what a night for him. He is the first player in NBA history to make 6 3-point field goals in the fourth quarter of a playoff game. Only 6 other players have made 6 threes in a quarter of a playoff game. Antoine Walker in 02, Lillard in 2021, Devin Booker in 2021, Michael Porter Jr. in 2021, Bogdanovic in 2021, Steph Curry in 2022. Those were first quarter, first quarter, first quarter, first quarter, second quarter, second quarter. He quite literally did something we've never seen. That's from NBA PR.
In the fourth quarter, he just kept getting shot up, and they kept going in. And then finally they played it. I thought they had a decent defensive call against him, and then Josh Hart slipped late in the game, and he got another open three.
Of the 10 most improbable comebacks of the playoffs in the play-by-play era since 1997, this one from Mike Bowie, the 2025 Indiana Pacers have three of the 10 most improbable comebacks just in the playoffs this year. Last night, the Cavs series, yep. The Bucks series.
They've done it every round of the playoff. When it happens once, you're just in awe of like, oh my God, I can't believe they actually pulled that off. And you hear all the historical context. And we did that when they did that, when they had that comeback against Milwaukee. And then they did it again against Cleveland in game one. And you're not quite as in much disbelief because they had just done it, but I just you're trying to process all of it. And now that the fact that they've done it three times in a row, or three rounds in a row, I should say, they have stolen a game in every round of the Eastern Conference playoffs that they had no business winning. And the historical numbers tell us that. They have no business winning that game. It's never happened before. That's the first time I've ever seen that in the history of the NBA. They're now, like, my mind goes to, and I feel like we do this sometimes with football teams more so than basketball teams. Like, this is just their, is this their year?
Destiny?
Like, this is now.
Are you doing destiny
I'm kind of going destiny on. If you make sense of that.
I can't.
Neesmith was 6 of 6 from three in the fourth quarter.
He couldn't miss.
He couldn't miss. He didn't touch. No matter where he was shooting from, no matter how much time was on the shot clock, no matter who was guarding him, every single time you're just like, oh my, he's going to, yep, he made another one. Holy crap.
So I'm not sitting here acting like I thought this would happen. I didn't dismiss the idea, which is why I watched the game until it was over, because obviously you go to overtime, you're going to watch. But
what were the live odds if you bet them with like 2.5 minutes to go down by 14?
So they were
money
down
line
14 plus with 250 left. Those live money odds had to have been Pacers plus 900 or more.
It
right?
had to have been, right? Because I saw somebody
find John Ewing has this stuff all the time.
Golliver had the win probability percentage at that point, and I think it was 99.7 or 8.
Something
yeah,
like that.
It was, I mean, almost a certainty the game was over.
Knicks,
because, again, it was 977-0 in the history when teams in the NBA had that lead.
Okay, hold on. So, trying to see. Okay, maybe he doesn't have it. Yeah, I don't know.
Would have been a nice payday. I'll tell you what. If the Pacers win this series, I don't know if they got another one of these left on them in the conference finals. If they get to the NBA finals and they're trailing at any point in one of those games in the final 2 to 3 minutes, I'm hammering the money line.
Well, yeah. Why would you not?
Like,
at
I
this
just
point?
I'm almost upset with myself of not remembering that they had done that twice, and why didn't I? Because the game was interesting. It was a great back and forth game the entire time. First three quarters were really tight, and you're like, this is going to come down on the wire. And then New York started to run them out of the gym a little bit early in the fourth and kind of opened up that lead. But it wasn't like they were trailing the entire game. They were right there with them the entire time until New York got on a bit of a run, and it happened to coincide with Brunson picking up his fifth foul. They went hot, made a bunch of shots, and you're like, wow, New York's actually going to win this game with Brunson on the bench in the fourth quarter, and then here comes Indiana.
I can't find a live odds thing. I'll keep searching for it in the break. We got the Magic Hat to get to here in a second. I can't find a live odds, but I am fascinated by that.
Yeah.
To have a 0.3% chance at the point that they were down, you had to have gotten at least plus 1,000
had
live,
to have
right?
Been. Had to have been.
There was just no way that that was going to happen, and then it happened.
It happened.
God, I might be with you on the destiny stuff. It's hard not to put that into your brain.
It's happened three. They have three of the craziest wins in the history of the NBA
of
playoffs,
our entire
of all time.
His life, your
yes.
life, my life. It doesn't matter how old or young you are.
No.
That was the craziest ending to a game we've ever seen.
They've done it three times in the playoffs in one playoff run. It just. Unbelievable. The choke, the scene, the crowd, hit being at MSG.
It was perfect.
You could hear
the yellow Pacer jersey.
The yellow
by the
Pacer
way.
Jersey. It just, yeah, man. You could hear a pin drop in that building in the final 90 seconds because they all could feel the pucker. Reggie sitting courtside on the call.
I got way more on this
which,
I want to get to.
Oh,
yeah.
Buddy. Knicks fans were not happy about that.
By the way, when that ball bounced on the back rim, we all thought it was going to go in, didn't we?
I kind of thought it was going to go in.
The way it went
yeah.
up, I'm like, and they're still looking up. I'm like, that's going to drop.
Yeah.
But I didn't dismiss the idea when Neesmith hit like two in a row. I'm like, He looks like he is in that zone.
They also got incredibly lucky, too, and it will be a forgotten note of the game. Brunson should have turned it over. They inbound the ball, and he was in the corner, and he tried to hit it off of a pacer foot to make it go out of bounds, and it went between both of them, and it just bounced out to midcourt. And maybe that was when OG missed one of the free throws. I can't remember, but that was luckier than hell.
Swag, what did Jack Ramsey used to say? Or not Jack Ramsey, Sean Lee on the call?
Got to make your free throws.
Yeah, that's the other part of that. OG. Cat, make free throws.
Gotta make your free throws.
Game's over, buddy.
Yes, it is.
But they didn't do it, and the Pacers did, and they have an improbable comeback. We'll get into a little more. I think there's a lot of meat on the bone of that one. We'll preview game two of the Timberwolves and the Thunder. Coming up next, it's Magic Hat time on The Fan. All right, let's get to the Magic Hat. It's the Magic Hat.
Yeah, baby! That's what I've been waiting for!
Bring it on. Basically, a bunch of topics, and we have no idea where the sports gods want us to go until Swag pulls it out of his Magic Hat.
Hocus Pocus, where are you?
Something. Now you see me, now you don't.
It's magic.
It's simply what it is. It's magic. We don't know what's going to come out of this hat.
Where is that rabbit?
Abracadabra, MFers. Let's do the magic hat.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
Ho, ho, ho,
hey, welcome back in. It's magic hat time. It is that time. Never know what the hat's going to provide us. We'll get back into the Halliburton villain stuff. I think he's perfect. Also, the conundrum with this game. We'll talk about that. We got some football stuff to get into today. But let's see what the Magic Hat will provide us with show topics.
All right. First topic is scary twins.
Finally got pulled. That's been in there a long time.
That's some old magic right here.
Oh, no, it's still in there.
It's still in there. I'm pretty sure it's still in there. This is, I mean, this might have been a month ago.
This is a long time ago. This is an old hat.
Some of you may have heard this already, but if you haven't, so there is a set of twins that are slightly older. I want to say they're in their 40s, maybe their 50s. They've been around in Australia for a long time, and they're famous for doing things where they do interviews and they try to talk exactly the same, saying the same words at the same time. Now, you can tell that sometimes they're trying too hard. It doesn't always work.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they have this act down where when they get interviewed by a news channel, they can talk in sync together. And so is it still up there, Swag, in the same area? The same page?
I can play it if you don't see
it. I see it here. Okay. Here it is. Here are the scary twins in Australia.
And one guy, he was up there with our mum, and he went up there, and he was coming back down towards us, and he goes, run, he's got a gun. our heart started to pound, and I said, oh, mum, where's mum? And poor mum was stuck up there, but apparently our brave mum, she goes, are you all right?
Because he had all blood all over his face.
And he goes, I'll shoot you. She goes, hey, I'm here to help.
And mum distracting him to make him look the other way. And he looked the other way. And mum ran into the bush
behind the fence.
And the guy goes to her, I'll find you and I'll shoot you.
All I was thinking about when we were running, I hope he doesn't fire.
Run, he's got a gun.
Sounds like an echo when you listen to it. The video's even trippier because they legitimately are twins.
They're identical.
And it went viral when it came out, and it freaked everybody out. There's something weird going on here. The Australian twins with the same voice saying the same thing. But it was funny. We were just having a conversation the other day after the show, and Jeff Rust, that bastard, came up after and said, hey, are you guys ever going to play this audio? It's been on your... We told him to stay off our pages. Stay off our drop page,
Rust. Why did he want to know what was on our page?
He said he scrolls over there to see what we pulled for the day. He wants to steal our audio for his own show, probably, you
Him
bastard.
And Buck do this. They'll either hear it on the show or they'll go to the page because Buck will play something and I'll hear it on primetime and they'll play it. And I went, that's our show.
That's
and
our audio.
I know a tell because the clip will end and sometimes a certain person on this show forgets to cut out the last half second of something.
There's a little bit of a boop. at the end of it. Yeah,
little and Isaac word and Suk little... are very familiar with who that person is.
Yeah.
And so Buck will play it, and Isaac will go, oh, why'd that happen? Yeah. And Buck goes, oh, I don't know.
Well, I didn't pull it. It wasn't my audio. I just found it over there. So there you go, Russ. Now we can delete it from our page.
No, I want to pull the run. He's got a gun.
He's got a gun.
That part's pretty funny.
That's a good drop right there.
All right, what's the next one in the old magic hat?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, look, I hate to do this because it's my guy. It has to be my guy because that's football. Brock Purdy got paid. We talked about that, you know, a couple different times.
Yes.
Did you see any of his press conference?
I did not. No, I saw some of the written quotes, but I didn't watch any of it.
He basically suggested that this wasn't about me getting paid. This is about us as a team having flexibility.
Look at that, man. He's taking the team route. Look at him. The new Tom Brady is what they call him.
How much was his contract?
That's pennies, 50, dude.
$53 million a year on average.
It's nothing.
$265 million, $181 million guaranteed. Yeah, not about me getting paid at all.
He came back on the cheap, man. He's trying to help his team out.
It's just a ridiculous statement. Like, I get what he's saying. He's trying to say, oh, I created some flexibility so we could actually surround the team. It's like, dude, if you really cared about flexibility and making the whole team great,
could have been 45, could have been 40, could have been $38 million a year.
I don't begrudge you for taking what you took.
You do you, boo.
You could have gotten a little more, probably. Yeah.
There's a little bit of truth to both of this, because if he wanted to be a B and hold out for 60, I don't think the Niners, maybe they would have given it to him, I don't know. But he could have made this much more difficult on them, I guess, as an organization. It seems like they were both in lockstep. The Niners, I think, made a good first offer that him and his agent seemed fair, and they were like, all right, that's a good place to start. Let's just work out the details now. But it is funny when you hear guys say that. Like, you're going to be making north of $50 million a year. You're not playing on the cheap.
So we want to make sure that we're working together with our organization and setting everybody up for success. It's not just about me to get all the money as much as I can, but... also, like, hey, let's surround yourself with a great team and players
locker room.
And all those things matter, too. So we definitely talked about that.
I drive a Toyota Tacoma, all right? I'm out farming. I don't need all the money in the world. I just want to make enough to make ends meet over here, okay?
God.
Has anybody ever had a bigger payday in sports, like a pay raise?
No, because he's the last pick in that draft.
I mean, he was making sub $1 million.
You can hate him and not like him at all. That's a Disney movie.
It's remarkable.
How is it not? I mean, it's crazy. Oh, yeah. I think that no matter what team he's playing for, in any scenario...
he was the last pick in the draft, and he just signed a $200 million extension.
That's a great question. Is that the biggest pay raise?
So he went... let me look up what his numbers were. So
I got... okay, well, I
he's
guess,
now going to make more than $50 million a year. We know that. I think he has one more year left on that rookie deal
initially.
Didn't
he make, like, $2 million his first whatever years in the league?
His base salary... yeah, I mean, it's been nothing. I can look up the summary here.
No, the base salary was less than $1 million.
Yeah, for sure it was.
I don't know if there was...
he probably got past two then with bonuses.
Yeah, I mean,
there's got to be some incentives in that deal.
Yeah, now it's all going up because he got a big signing bonus. But I believe his contract breakdown for this year was it was going to be basically $1 million.
How much did Michael Block make in that major championship that Dirt hates him for?
Probably a lot of money.
I mean, that dude was making nothing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's
it's not to $200 million, right, but he made. Right. I mean, he went from nothing to a lot in a pretty quick amount of time.
Yeah,
this is saying now. I don't know if all the details are out on SpotTrack. I've been trying to find most of them. That his base salary this year is going to be $1 million.
Yeah,
his
his contract kicks in next year.
He's getting a $40 million signing bonus.
Oh. Nice.
So they're giving him 41 in cash.
Yeah, so that's the other part.
They're giving him a lot of cash the next couple of years.
I mean, if they're smart, they'll do what you've always been bringing up with the Jalen Hurts stuff. Front load it, give the cash. Like, get as much into that signing bonus as you can to make his cap hit not
so
as
this
impactful.
Is fascinating. I was waiting for these details to come out. Have you guys seen these yet?
So I haven't.
So his cap hit this year is, I don't know if this was it before or afterwards, but it's now $9.1 million.
Okay. That has to be after because his
has to be after because he was on his seventh round pick. No, so he's getting like an $8 million cash signing bonus, and he's getting $40 million. I think on top of that, his cap hit in 2026 is $24.7 million.
Smelling a little hurtsy.
And the third year of the deal, it's $30.8 million,
dude.
And they got
very
a potential out in this deal after 2028. So his cap hit before the Niners can even get out of the deal,
this is a brilliant deal.
It doesn't even go above $30 million. That is an unbelievable contract.
I didn't know any of those details. There was stuff that was leaking that it might be something similar.
The back end of it shoots up, but you can restructure by the time you get there if things are looking and he's playing at a high level. Like 28, 29, 30, it goes 57, 72, 64 million cap hit, but the salary cap also is going up. And mean, if he's playing, if he's playing at a high level, you will restructure and give him more cash in the last 3 years of that deal.
Well, yeah. Also, like, even though that's going to go higher, if he's playing well enough to get past the cut point, what's the quarterback going to be making at that point?
Yeah, exactly.
So you might even look at that high number and be like, right now, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But by that point, you might go, yeah, he's literally in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, so that's a fair deal.
That's an amazing setup. That was a there was a lot of people indicating this might have been the best contract the Niners have created in their Shanahan Lynch era. If that contract, if the, what you're giving me is right, and I believe it is because you're looking at SpotTrack, that was brilliant.
So the cash he's taking home this year, $41 million. The cash next year is $46.9 million, and the cash in 2027 is $27.2 million.
I mean, you'd want that as a person anyway, right?
It's just upfront money.
53 per year. Give me front loaded.
Well,
cash.
That's a he's getting 53 part of the but he's getting it up front and yes. Then making a little bit less throughout the rest of the year. The percentage. The last thing on this, the percentage of cap that he's going to make the league cap 3.2 this year, 8% next year, 9% in 2027, and then the Niners can get out of it in 2028.
We got more magic in the hat. We'll get to it next on The Fan. We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. Some big college football news just came down. We'll talk about that.
Would have been nice a year ago.
You know.
Bastards.
We show up, play better football.
Maybe have a fair format, damn it.
You got to beat that team at some point. They're going to be in your way every year.
Just give me a playoff win, man. Give me one. Let me get one. Can I get one?
No
one. Can I get Kurt Cignetti? Can I smoke that cig?
Nobody wants you to have it.
Give me one.
We have a lot to get to in the Magic Hat. Ben Beacon's going to join us of the Timberwolves Locked On podcast at 7:15. Swag, what's the next round of Magic saying?
R.I.P. to memorable men.
But yeah. R.I.P. Jim Irsay. Yeah. That was random yesterday. Not as, like, the craziest story I've ever heard.
No. I didn't know he was that ill.
I don't think anybody did. The way even, like, a Pat McAfee, who worked for him and knew him really, really well, he may have had some indication, but they said he passed away peacefully.
Yeah.
But he's only 65.
Not very old.
He's interesting. And doing a little more reading on him, because I'm not sitting there like, oh, I want to read about all the owners. I want to know them.
Yeah.
We've largely just mentioned him in passing of like, hey, man, got another Dewey. Hey, yeah. He's got pills in the back of his truck.
Yeah.
We talk about the warts of a human. And I think yesterday what I learned, not that I didn't know this, is there's always more to people than just the one or two public things you hear. By all account, it sounds like may have actually legitimately just been a dude born into money. But was like a good dude who had his fair share of demons.
I mean, we all have our demons. His were obviously very public over the years. I had the same reaction yesterday. I did not know a lot about him other than the times he had been in trouble and the funny things that he had said over the years. Where he became a bit of a punching bag. And so when somebody passes away, you see all these thoughts and memories come in. McAfee, no matter how you feel about him, I thought had a great thing on Twitter last night. I'm not going to read the entire thing. It was very long, but about the impact that Irsay had and the conversations that they had and the help that he gave him in launching his career and all the different things that they worked on and collaborated together. There was one that I read that basically somebody said, just random stories over the years on Jim Irsay. He made it a point to give every Colts employee a birthday card with a fresh, crisp $100 bill every time it was their birthday. He'd walk around Indy and give random homeless people wads of cash from time to time. So if he had stuff in his pocket. When he was younger and knowing what obviously his future was going to be within the organization, coming from a very rich family and the ownership situation, he made it a point when he was in high school to essentially work every job with the team because he wanted to know how every little facet of the team operated. And that included doing the team's laundry for a couple. Like he came up the ranks the right way, if you will, in a way that I think people can respect, even though there was a lot of help, obviously, from his family situation. So he seemed like a genuinely good dude who cared about other people. He did a lot, gave a ton of money away, donated to a lot of great causes. And it's unfortunate that sometimes we highlight the negative side of people without really showcasing some of the positives.
Just want to read a couple tweets legendarily from Jim Irsay, who is pretty famously on Twitter. Doesn't often an owner is on Twitter. He tweeted in 2012, I hired the Gimp from Pulp Fiction 2, from Pulp Fiction to clean my reading glasses. He lives in a trapdoor in my owner's suite, but also does my grocery shopping. He says, in Miami, I'm playing Angry Birds in a hotel room. One of them suckers hopped out my phone and bit my dog Howard right in the ass. There's too much caffeine. In 2010, he tweeted, I know it's a sin, but I have a crush on Sarah Palin's feet.
Hey, you got to be out and open and honest on your kinks, man.
And famously in 2013, we cannot forget, he responded to a First Take segment and tweeted, and on First Take, the woman that preceded Stephen A., how dare you pretend to know me? I don't know your name, and I don't care. If my black mother Dorothy was still alive, you'd be in some big hot water. You are mean and ugly. You're a nothing burger. R.I.P. Jim Irsay.
R.I.P. Jim Irsay, man. 65's way too young.
All right, what do we got
next? All right,
next?
One more. Is it time to believe?
This is, look, I feel like I know what the response to this is going to be, but the news coming out today, George Kirby's coming back from the M's.
Oh,
he's coming back for the M's.
This is the year!
They're getting the workhorse right-hander
this is
back.
The year.
They got a four-gamer coming up against Houston. They just beat the White Sox in the getaway day.
Wow, big win over the White Sox.
I'm just saying, man, like at what point do we start to believe that maybe...
When they win a couple of playoff series. When they win a couple of playoff series.
I didn't say anything about World Series. I said,
believe what? What are we believing?
When did the division make the playoffs?
We've seen them win the division and make the playoffs. Well, actually, I don't know if they won the division 2 years ago.
I don't know if they did either.
I don't think they did, but they made the playoffs, and they won a playoff series a couple of years ago, and then they lost to the Astros. So what do we believe in what? They're a legitimate contender?
Yeah.
When they win a couple of playoff series.
Right.
When the Mariners show up in the ALCS, I will grant you that they are a legitimate playoff contender. It's funny because the Knicks had that heartbreaking loss last night. One of our P1s texted in, a 37-year-old Knicks fan. It's like, this is honestly on me for believing, like buying in, like I should have known better. And I feel that way as a Duck fan, and we'll get to that at some point of like every time in a season when I get to the point of thinking like, oh my God. Is this the year? Is it gonna? The second I get to that point is when they lose, and I would hope Mariner fan would be the same way. Like you enjoy it, enjoy
the
ride. It's great news.
Third best record in the American League.
They're having a great start.
Tigers and Yankees,
but yes. They have the worst run differential of any division leader in baseball.
It's a +27. They're winning a lot of one run games.
Yeah,
a lot of one run games.
Yeah.
A lot of one. So they're off to a great start. The division is very winnable, as we all said at the start of the year. Didn't they have a 10-game division lead last year that they blew?
They did.
They did.
Okay, yeah. So.
It's only 3.5. Keep it under 10, and maybe you'll just be able to hold
keep
that.
Keep it in the single digits, and maybe you'll stay on your toes, and you won't blow it like the Knicks did last
they
night.
They need more pressure. I think that's what we're learning about the Mariners. They need more pressure.
They can't ease up on themselves.
This over that 54 winning percentage, too. They're at 58.
58, man. Give them an extension.
Fine,
Poto extension time.
You know what? When Kirby comes back and throws a gem, you're going to regret that statement. You're going to regret it.
I'll eat crow when they're in the ALCS.
Loaded second hour of the program. Ben Beacon will join us. He covers the Timberwolves for Locked On. He'll join us 7:15 for a slightly early ticker. Let's start the second hour. The perfect villain, but can't quite put our finger on this. We've got some football news out of college football as well. Loaded second hour. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.